Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to Signs of Life Radio Light. I'm your host for this evening, Angelina Diana. And this program is brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. You could find out all of their information if you log on to foreverfamilyfoundation.org. We are a not-for-profit, and we do our best to bring you all the information that we know. Also support, too, as well, about survival of consciousness, or is there life after death? And if you're new to the Forever Family Foundation, I'm sure you found this radio program by perusing through the website, and you probably see that there's a lot of things going on with the foundation. And if you don't get a chance to check out the website, you should. It's very complete, and there's a lot that you can receive information-wise, and also how to get connected with like-minded people. I mean, this is the age of connection with the internet, and you'll see that the Forever Family Foundation is up to date with all that. They're on Facebook, Pinterest. They tweet. You can check out some stuff on YouTube as well. And we have many events going on as well too. Before we actually get started with the lineup of that and. We also have an Ask the Medium question before we take our first break. But our guests for this hour after the first break will be Lori and Brian McDermott. They've written a very interesting book called Learning to Dance in the Rain. And it's an interesting approach to what to cling on to and what to do after you've lost a loved one. How about the concept of journaling? Did you ever think about doing that? This idea that maybe you can work out your thoughts and your feelings through the mind-body connection from within and letting them ooze out through paperwork and your thoughts. And what's interesting is if you speak to mediums or even those that have had personal spirit communication, it usually starts with something from within that we think is a thought, but it might go actually a little bit deeper than that. So we're going to explore the idea of journaling and the idea of what can come about when you journal after losing a loved one. So that's going to be coming up after the first break. But I do want to talk a little bit about these great programs that are going on with the Forever Family Foundation. And if you're on that search of what happens when somebody that you love very much has made that transition to the other side, or even if you're scientific-minded and you're curious, you have questions about survival of consciousness, there's a lot to be had on the Forever Family Foundation. For starters, there's a free, wonderful group that meets on the internet, the Visionary Explorers Group. It's a monthly online meeting. It's the second Saturday of each month. Starts at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. It's really a wonderful, free-formed, like-minded folks that get together and really talk about their experiences of how they've connected, or did I have a connection, or oh my goodness, I had a connection like someone else did in Canada or someone in England or in America, and you feel less alone. So I think that's really the beauty of the Visionaries Explorers group. And another event that you can think of if you would like to inquire about how to start an afterlife discussion group. These are in-person groups that are happening all over the country. And you can actually contact the Forever Family Foundation. The next one happens to be in Sanibel, Fort Myers, Florida. It's a free afterlife discussion group on April 10th. Again, all this information is on the internet at foreverfamilyfoundation.org if you need more information. So besides having online meetings, in-person meetings, there's also some webinars that are going on various topics. There's one on April 13th. Called Anomalous, I hope I pronounced that right, Experiences of the Bereaved on April 13th. It's a 1.5-hour webinar, and it's exactly as it sounds, experiences of those that have had losses. So besides having webinars, there's also in-person events, and there's really a wonderful one that happens a couple of times a year with a medium. It's called Desserts and Discarnates. I've had the honor of doing that one myself. And it's really a private evening of spirit communication. Only 12 guests are set in an elegant atmosphere. There's coffee, tea, and luscious desserts. It's really a great way to feed your soul and relax and connect to those souls on the other side who have gone before you. And there is a wonderful medium. I absolutely love, love, love her. Siri Burnson will be actually the medium for that evening. She's a very evidential, compassionate medium who really works very ethically and carefully to contact with the other side. And you'll absolutely love her. If you'd like information on how to go to that event, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org for all of that information. Another thing, too, is the Holiday of the Earth raffle. There's two raffles held each year. Raffles are really one of the many ways that you can support the Forever Family Foundation. It is a not-for-profit, all-volunteer organization. And how about a chance for you to win a mediumship reading? You're really never out of chances, and there are 5 winners that are chosen, and you can purchase just one $5 chance and be in the running until all 5 mediums are given away. Again, for more information on that, you can go to the foreverfamilyfoundation.org. There's many other events, too many for me to mention in the time that we have here, but really, if you were to go to the foreverfamilyfoundation.org, you would find it there, and I really think that there's something for everyone, so you will not be left out. Before we actually go to break, every now and then I feel honored to answer some questions. Being a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation, they give me that honor to address questions, and I really appreciate the chance and the opportunity to do that. And I received one. I'll just say it's from Amy Kay. And her question is, have mediums communicated with the souls of babies who have been aborted or miscarried? And the answer is yes. The soul of a child, whether they never had a physical life here or if they've been stillborn, can be reached, or I should say they can reach us. A medium is just the microphone that picks up on the communication that's already happening with you, Amy, or anyone that's listening. And the way that they're validated, different mediums have validated them in different ways. The way that they've come through to me is sometimes they'll bring with them someone that met up with them, you know, maybe an older grandparent or someone within the family or friend of the family, and the friend of the family might validate them first, because you have to remember a child or someone, a soul that's been miscarried or aborted, hasn't had a lot of life experience themselves. So for them to validate them might be difficult. So one way is through other loved ones that might be around them on the other side. Another interesting thing that I've seen them do is the soul of that aborted or miscarried child will actually validate what was going on in the mother's life at the time that the child was lost, and also might talk about the different paths that the mother took because of that loss or abortion. So it's very validating. And what I have found sometimes, not all the time, they might validate, for example, I understand why you made that choice because it pushed you in another area of your life, which brought more soulful and spiritual things to the earth. And the child might validate that was their purpose. You know, there's a purpose, and I know it's hard to think of it. You know, I often say when I read someone, the first best thing would be if I could have them walk through that door for you. But the second best thing is that you know that there was a purpose, that soul, that spirit understands its purpose as to why it either never made it here or why it left us way too soon. So, Amy Kay, I hope that helps you. And if you're the one that had the loss, I wish you all the best in your process of having the hope of knowing that your loved ones are always with you. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Lori and Brian McDermott, authors of Learning to Dance in the Rain. We're going to get a taste of what it's like to journal as you go through the process of understanding the afterlife. My name is Angelina Diana. We'll be right back.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to Signs of Life Radio. Light brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I'm your host for this evening, Angelina Diana, and here's some food for thought for you. I know that if you're listening to this program, you've probably unfortunately suffered a loss, and my heart goes out to you. And I think when we've all had a loss, we kind of search. We go on this search. I think on a spiritual level, it's like radar. We feel lost. There's this internal bleep or hum within us of, where are you? Are you okay? Are you still connected? And sometimes it's hard to take those feelings and connect them to the physical world so that you have some footing, so that you feel like you still exist here, even though your heart wants to be with them where they are. And we have some wonderful guests with us tonight that have written a book called Learning to Dance in the Rain, a true story about life beyond death. I'd like to welcome to the program Lori and Brian McDermott. Good evening. How are you tonight?
We're great. Thanks for having us.
Good evening. Thanks for having us.
Good
We're
evening.
Doing well.
Well, thank you so much. And I've read your book, and it's a very inspirational, sweet, sometimes very emotional, but very hopeful book, I must say. And that's why I feel so lucky to have the chance to talk to you. So let's take our listening audience to the beginning of this story, which is a difficult one, of what prompted you to want to write this book. Either Lori or Brian, who'd ever like to start?
Well, in 2010, our 21-year-old daughter ended up in a fatal car crash. And as you can imagine, and people listening, it pretty much shattered our world and forced us to really kind of consider what's life and where is she, and was the big test to all of our beliefs. And we were really very, very fortunate to have a number of family members and friends encourage us to realize in our lives that even though her physical body had passed, that her spiritual being had not, and that this was still part, could be still part of our lives. And so,
was this Lori, a belief that you had prior to having this tragedy in your life? Did you have a personal belief, or was it your friends that really encouraged you to have that concept?
Yeah, well, both Brian and I come from a pretty untraditional spiritual religious background, but we both had this sense of there is something beyond the physical, and there is more to a human existence than just the physical, that there is a spiritual essence to us. And I had studied a lot of different religious philosophies, and Brian is a real strong believer in Native American spirituality. We come from a Judeo-Christian background that kind of feeds you this sort of belief system. So we had that,
okay,
but it was never really tested, and we'd never really had that kind of experience in the past with family members who may have died or close friends. So for us, it was really uncharted territory. So we had the we were primed to believe it, and we wanted to believe it, and we had family members encouraging us, but we never really had a direct experience before.
Of course. And Brian, I think what's so extraordinary about the book that the two of you have written is that it's in a journal form. And usually, and I've been honored to read other people's books that they've had losses, and it does take them, you know, through a traditional type of a book format. And what I would like you to address is what prompted you to start writing this journal. Did you have in mind, for example, that it would turn into something that could help other people, or was it just a personal step that you decided to take out of a need?
So there's a couple of different answers to that. The first, okay, and I give Lori all the credit for this, from the beginning, she had a sense. We began to experience some of the things that Lori was just talking about that we hadn't in our in our previous life. All kinds of synchronicities, different signs. And from the very beginning, Lori was bound and determined to capture those, to write those down. But we didn't really have any sense that it was going to be a journal, or that we, and we certainly didn't at the beginning think about it as a story or something that we wanted to put together and share. It was just, she just had this notion that that was an amazing thing that just happened. We need to capture that. We need to be able to remember it. And so for, you know, many days, many months, we just started to write things down. Anything that was something that, you know, we considered at that time very out of the ordinary, whether it was some connection with animals or numbers that would show up or things that we would find that were really relevant to what we were thinking about at the time. And as time went on, more and more things began to happen. And so we just kept putting all these together. And again, Lori, you know, as we go back and we look at these journals and we look at, which again, we weren't calling a journal, we looked at all of these events and all of these things that were happening to us. It was clear that we needed to share that with our family and friends. And part of it was to make sure they knew how we were doing and how we were sort of dealing with things and processing things, and that we were sort of, that we were in a place that we were hopeful, we were learning a lot, and we were still amazed by some of the connections that we were feeling with Maya and other spirits, you know, through a variety of ways. And we really wanted to make sure that our family and friends heard about all of this, were able to read that. And so it began to become a story, but to get all the things that happened that we could capture in this journal. And again, Lori put all this together. We both wrote it, but she was really the core writer. And then she sent it out to family and friends, and people really provided such a great response. And a lot of folks said, you know, it would be great if you could share this with other people. And so that became, then that's the second part, which is maybe we should put this into a more of a story and put it into kind of a book form.
Interesting.
So it really evolved. We had no idea from the beginning that it would turn into a book.
Now, I'm curious because I've interviewed quite a few people. I've read couples before, and I often find that, and I'm only bringing this up because there might be someone listening, you know, couples listening who are kind of searching for something to bring some solace and hope. And I know that sometimes there's a, say, one person in the relationship might not have that natural desire to look for signs because they might grieve a different way, and then there's another partner in the relationship that tends to be the seeker of signs and wants to capture them. From what you've said, Brian, it sounds like Lori began that journey, and that might be something that comes natural to her. I'm curious to ask you, Brian, I know that you believe in Native American spirituality, and that's very spiritual, but did watching Lori be motivated to journal and put down these things, how did it change or shift your process of going through the grieving process? Was it something that motivated you in different ways to write things down where before having a loss you might not have wanted to?
It did. It absolutely did. I would not have done it on my own. And the more, so one, the experience themselves were incredibly, you know, it's hard to use positive words when we're talking about this, but to some extent they were very exciting things. But I would not have thought about writing them down. And so, you know, because Lori started the journal, and as I began to kind of, you know, page through some of the things that that she had written down, and the things that she had written down were mostly things that we both experienced. Because, I mean, when this all happened at the get-go, and really for so much after that, we were just wrapped around each other, just trying to, you know, help each other and lean on each other. And so most of the experiences were happening to both of us. And then I was going through the pages of the journal and saw all of the things that were happening and it reminded me of the experiences, then I realized that I really needed to contribute. I needed to be able to write things down as well. So the journal became really both of ours. And it was, so it absolutely changed the way I approach things. And it was it was certainly a healing process, and it was a healing process that we shared, which was really important. And there were times when I would just go to the journal and write something that happened to me when I was on a walk or something that you know, particularly that happened. And I would see that Lori had entered things, and there were other times that we had experienced things together, and we would come home and we made sure that, you know, one of us put it in the journal. So it really became a lot of help in a lot of different ways for us.
Now, do you feel maybe having this journal come together the way that it did with, you know, you, Lori, writing it first and then you kind of joining the bandwagon, do you think in some ways, and I know it's the second best thing, the first best thing would be that your daughter's still here, but the second best thing is that it perhaps brought you closer together during the grieving process, journaling?
I think it definitely did, because we're able to share this profound response that was very different than the general culture would have. I mean, we were surrounded by loving people, but a lot of times it was all just sympathy and sadness, and we were looking at this experience. We were looking at our daughter continuing on in an amazing journey that we could only get, you know, a glimpse of. And for ourselves, we were also kind of in this spiritual awakening mode. And so the two of us, because of these journalings that we could look back on and remember, like Brian said, and also kind of share them with others to sort of, show people what we were experiencing, I think it did. It definitely brought us together. And I know a lot of couples who don't have that, and a tragic accident, the loss of a child, tears them apart. But for us, it did. It brought us together in a really strong way. And I think a lot of people around us who saw these experiences and who've read our book too, but who've been part of this journey with us, have also, in some ways, opened up a little bit, and the paradigm is shifting a little bit more. So it's very positive, it's very profound, and could be, if there's a plan that we're all part of, this is part of the plan.
Yeah, I hear you.
The other thing that it did, I know for me, and Lori and I talked a lot about this, was as the journal continued to grow and we would go back and look through it, the evidence was undeniable that we were having connections. Mm-hmm. With the spiritual world, with Maya, and the spiritual world and Maya were having connections with us. And it was really, I mean, the evidence just kept building and building and building. And so the journaling also was a way for us to initially, and I was, I mean, as Lori's described, you know, we both wanted to believe that there was something, not anything in particular, that the spiritual world lived, but we knew that there was something beyond. We didn't really know what that was. But to have all of these different experiences, and then to have written them down and go back and read through them, it was enormous to help us sort of become more open and more trusting that this is real. This is as natural as the natural world is. So that was a huge help, and it definitely brought us together, and it brought us even closer to Maya, who we thought we had lost.
That's wonderful. And I think, you know, I know from like a medium's viewpoint, I might have, say, a mom who's lost a child, and she's obviously, as you know all too well, unfortunately, they're almost begging their partner to understand there is an afterlife. Please, I want to help you too. And if there's someone that's listening that's in that position, this book, Learning to Dance in the Rain, is something that perhaps that one, say, mom or dad, whoever's on the side of understanding that there is an afterlife, might want to pick up this book, read it, or even start your own journal so that you have it. And then eventually your partner might come onto your side a little bit when they start seeing the evidence pile up. That's why I think this book is so, so wonderful. So I'm really glad that the two of you are sharing this journey with us. Now, another question I'd like to ask, I think I'll start with Lori first, is what was the first profound thing that you felt you had to get a piece of paper? Like, what was that one sign or one thing that you said, oh my goodness, I have to write this down? Can you share that with our listening audience?
Yeah, I think probably, it turns out it's the second major sign or communication or revelation or miracle that we had was after coming back from a small ceremony at a crematorium. It was just Brian and myself and our son, Sean, and we were dropped off at the bottom of our driveway by the funeral director, and as we walked up the driveway, I noticed at least 20 blue jays in one of our backyard trees. And the three of us just, like, stood there in absolute awe that these birds had gathered at this time, less than an hour after Maya's physical remains had started the cremation process. And it was just a mind changer. It was absolutely a mind changer. And then when we did some research on the internet about the symbolism of blue jays, we realized that they are, you know, emissaries between the physical and the spiritual. And one of the websites we saw was quoted as saying, it's like a wink from God. And it just was, it was one of those moments that I'll never forget. It's just very powerful. And we didn't have a book at that time. One of our good friends who came to the memorial service a couple days later gave me a blank book. And I was thinking at the time, what's this for? And then as I remembered some of the things that had just happened within the first few days, I thought, I know what this book is for. Plus the emotion stuff, it's an incredible grief and incredible sadness and just a rocking of your world. But then all of these other things that open up, you realize that it's so important to capture and to remember. And who knew what was going to be coming? I kept thinking, are we going to get any more? Does this end? You know,
right.
We filled up the. We're actually on the third journal.
Wow, that's fabulous. Years. Now, do you find that you by writing things down, it makes you more aware of your surroundings? It gives you motivation to continue to look, or did you find yourself as grief happens, and I know everybody grieves differently, when you have to go into the physiological responses of grief, were there moments that Maya would pop you out of those moments and then you'd have to write it down? What I'm trying to demonstrate for our audience is, was Maya connecting to the fact that you had a journal, and did she use her energy while you were in the physiological grips of grief? Can you share an example, perhaps?
There were many times where we were in a really sad state, and something would happen that would make us realize that, wait a minute, you know, her spiritual essence or metaphysical essence is still with us, and, you know, lighten up, Mom and Dad. And there was one time when we were, she was a student at UMass, and we had to go to her apartment and start clearing out her things. And it was just a really, really tough experience. Her roommates were there, and it was just really, really sad. And as we're driving home, we end up getting stopped by a police officer because Brian's driving too fast. And right where we're stopped, we end up seeing a number that has become one of Maya's signs, the number 20. And it was right there in front on the mailbox. And both of us, when we saw it, it just shook us out of our sadness. It made us smile. The cop didn't give us a ticket, and we went on our way. And it was definitely one of the things when we got home, I had to write about it.
Right, of course.
We wanted to remember this because it was also we were learning how to retrain ourselves, and every time we would start peeling over into the depths of depression and sadness, something would happen to, say, Mom and Dad or Lori and Brian. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. And it'd be like a light. And I think the biggest thing happened on Brian's birthday. We went to visit a medium, and there was this channeling that ended up talking about how, and this is like 10 months later, how there should be the stories of Maya should be written in a book and shared with people. And it was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Now we're seeing why, you know, this has been all sort of leading to this experience, this ending kind of thing. So there's a lot.
Right. And for those that are listening that are maybe on the edge of they feel over, obviously grief is an overwhelming experience, so that doesn't have to be said. But even just the overwhelming physical aspects of how do I journal? Do I keep something with me? When I'm journaling, do I contact that loved one first as I'm writing it down? Am I having this experience with them, or is it separate and I'm in the hopefulness of, oh my God, you just sent me that? What are your feelings or suggestions to those that are listening that are trying to understand the process? Obviously, this is something that was born not with I'm going to go journal, but it had to turn into something where obviously you saw the signs, you're writing them down, but how could you motivate those listening that it's actually them sending it, and as you're writing it down, you're feeling them too? It isn't just a separate experience, right? You know, it's
Absolutely.
Connected. It's connected Yep. as you're writing it down, because you're feeling the joy of that connection. Or maybe
I'm
wrong.
That's really true. I don't know how to suggest to people to go about journaling. I think it's very dependent on how people, you know, operate. For us, as Lori described, we have a friend who gave us a blank journal, and that ended up being on one of our small tables in the kind of the main room that we use in our house. Okay. And it was always there. So whenever we would come home, if something happened, we would make sure that we went to the journal. If we went on a multi-day trip, often we would bring the journal with us. And what we worked hard at doing in the journal was just describing the experience, not necessarily trying to characterize it or really make anything of it at the time. Just capture it. Just make sure you captured it. And then we may come back to it at another time. And then, so for example, if we had some experience with animals or numbers, we made sure we accurately captured it. And then we would go off and do some research. We would look up, you know, Ted Andrews' Animal Speak. Well, what does this animal symbolize? And how is that connected to what we were thinking about at the time? And then we would go back to the journal and then put in what we found. So it was just and it wasn't really trying to build anything at the time. It was just, that's an experience, capture it. And then you could go back and look at it at another time, but it was just important just to capture whatever it was. But the other thing that you were just mentioning, having that experience and having that connection, there were times when I was writing something in the journal that was something that I remembered, some experience that either I had or Lori and I had, and I wanted to make sure it got captured in the journal. There were other times when that happened that while I was writing, I would get chills. And I knew that Maya was with me. And then it was absolutely not just me putting this in the journal. We were both having that experience together. That didn't happen every time, but it happened a lot. And that was another... sort of validation that this right. is absolutely about communicating with Maya, with the spiritual world. We can't control it. We can't call it up. But it's so wonderful when that happens. And without a doubt, the journal certainly encouraged that and was helped us with that.
Do you feel maybe putting yourself in somewhat of a daydream-like existence as you're writing might have opened you up to Maya, who was already there?
I wish I could say I was purposeful about that.
Okay. I'm just curious.
I knew how to do that on a regular basis. But yes, it's not that I would, and Lori can chime in, but it's not that I would sort of consciously do that.
Right.
But by writing and thinking about the experience and thinking about Maya and the connection to Maya, then without a doubt that opened me up. And because
right.
it allowed me, Maya is one of the things we've learned from the mediums, the different mediums we've gone to, is that Maya is an incredibly strong, which we knew, she was this way here, incredibly strong energy and spirit. So we know she's sending us messages all the time.
Right.
But we, on the other hand, are not as good as receiving or, making, it's like when we want to send her a message, we don't necessarily know that she got it. But we do know, but we don't actually know. So the journaling and that process certainly helped us trust that that was happening.
Right.
And it took a while for that to happen.
Of course. Sorry. Now, of course, there's a term called automatic writing. I'm certain that you might have heard of that, where one puts themselves in a kind of a relaxed mode, a daydream kind of state, and they just allow their thoughts and feelings to flow with the universe and the spiritual energy, and they just write what they feel, see, or hear from within themselves. Have either of you felt you've had this experience with Maya, where you've just sat quietly and have maybe allowed the energy, the love, the connection that you know that's been proven from her end, just to flow through your written word? Has that been something you've experienced?
It's been fairly rare, I think, for the two of us. But I can remember this one time. Again, it was about 10 months after the crash, where I work a lot with runes and tarot cards and the I Ching. So I have a lot of kind of metaphysical tools at my use. And I remember sitting one day with them, and all of a sudden I felt like I was a spirit in disguise as a human being kind of thing. And I felt like this was Maya kind of telling me, Mom, this is what I've been. I've been this spirit in human form, but now I'm the pure spirit. And I had this, I wrote it down in the journal, I am dragon spirit. And I wrote that down, and then I wrote underneath it, dragons don't die. And I thought, that is like a really weird thing to write. But our book ends up with the statement, dragons don't die, they get stronger. And I now realize that was probably as close as I've ever been to that experience, where the automatic writing experience. But it was pretty profound, and I felt like I was in another world. But
right.
it hasn't happened since then.
Okay.
So, but I did. I felt like this was her coming through me, giving me these images and the words. And only later did it kind of make sense why she was saying that.
That's beautiful.
That's pretty cool.
That's neat. How about you, Brian? Have you ever just tried to allow the process of writing to connect with your daughter?
Again, I haven't done that purposefully.
Okay.
It's actually a really good suggestion, and it's something that, as Lori was talking and as you were asking the question, I've been thinking that's something that I think I'll probably try. There was one point where I wrote a poem which ended up in the book, and I felt like that poem, even though I was writing to Maya, I felt like that poem just came out of me. And when I after the book was published and I reread it, and I remember thinking that there was more to that poem than my just sort of sitting down and trying to write some some words of how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And so that could have very well have been, from Maya through me, without a doubt. And we know that people have, some people have had, the channeling, and they really are just the channel. And, the spiritual notions are coming through them. We haven't had that, but I think so much of our experiences were absolutely direct connections, and even though they didn't come out as words, they certainly came out as experiences in this physical world that you might not have thought were spiritual connections, but without a doubt, they were and they have been.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because when I've read the book, there were times that it was almost this. Obviously, there's no greater loss than that as a child, period. But when you think of the relationship that you've had in your family with her, and you hear some of the things that you're seeing and feeling and experiencing that she's sending you, there seems to be a personality that comes through in why she's sending it. She knows you well, in other words, and it seems like it's a prompting from her to have you recognize that she knows you well and to give you this trusting opening that you can talk to her when you want to. And that's the feeling I got from this through, starting from the beginning to Dragons Don't Die. It's right. This deeper, it's like it felt like slides to a story that your relationship with her was growing stronger as the relationships came, and the trust, even though she's all spirit, the trust that you can receive from her was there. And to see it in words, isn't it like almost like a double validation that it makes you feel even more motivated to receive, instead of doubt?
Right, absolutely. And so, throughout the period of the book, the first year, and then even beyond, certainly the first year, certainly in the beginning, there was so much of our own hope that this new relationship was indeed real. And it took a lot. I know for me, even though I had some sense that there was something beyond, I had no idea what. But the first medium that we went to just completely flipped my world inside out and upside down. I mean, it just completely changed my thinking of the spiritual world because of how much of a connection the medium provided for us. And as time went on, the more experiences we would have, the less it became a matter of, was that a sign? Is that something we should pay attention to? And more of, that was definitely a sign. Now, what does it mean? What do we do with that?
And so
there was this. Absolutely, the relationship became stronger. The trust became more. Our yearning for learning more and being better at it, and actually continues to be more because we're still. There are times when we're sort of frustrated with what we can't do, but we're so much better off and better at kind of connecting and feeling through all this than we were, and that continues. I mean, not only through the first year in the book, but even beyond that, it continues really to this day. We yearn for a more crisp communication, more crisp relationship, and we think the more we work at that, the more open we are. And there was one, and actually Laurie will remember this better than I, but one of the mediums that basically communicated to us, lighten up, just you need to relax and just trust that it's going to happen instead of working so hard at it. Because that really ends up closing you. So just have to kind of go with the flow and just know that it's there. which is sometimes a little bit hard because you can't, it's not right out there that you can touch, but there is a growing that has to take place and has been taking place with Lori and I.
And it's a good motivation to consider writing a journal. It really is, because it shows your journey, but it also shows, at least I can see from your daughter, what she's sending is she's working with you and encouraging you through what she's showing you.
Right.
Which is a beautiful story. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a short break, and I think in the closing minutes of the program, maybe talk just a little bit about some of the extraordinary things that Maya has sent her parents. We'll be right back. You're listening to Signs of Life Radio.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio Lite, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. My name is Angelina Diana, your host for this hour. I want to remind everyone to please check out the website. There's so many events and things that you can grasp onto, something for everyone. And being a not-for-profit, we really appreciate your support. We've been speaking with Lori and Brian McDermott. They've written this book called Learning to Dance in the Rain, and it's actually a wonderful, beautiful book. I can't thank the two of you enough for writing it. I'm curious, where did the title come from, Learning to Dance in the Rain?
About 6 weeks before Maya's crash, she posted on her Facebook page, When Life Gives You a Storm, Dance in the Rain. And over the months that we were trying to regroup and rebuild our lives, I kept saying to Brian, we are learning to dance in the rain. And that's when it came time to pick a title. That just seemed natural.
Very much so. Now, we were talking off the air about when you would see the mediums and how they would open up this whole new world for you. We also spoke about them encouraging you to learn to communicate yourself. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's you're right. Every single meeting we've gone to has consistently said, well, prompted by usually me, how do we do what you do? We want to communicate with Maya the way you do. And the response has always been, you can. Everybody has these abilities. It's a matter of how you approach it. And a lot of times it's a matter of just calming yourself and just, you know, just relaxing and being open and trusting. And so, you know, that affirmation has always been there, and we continue to, we absolutely believe that. We've had some strong experiences and connections, so we know we've got the abilities. We just have to continue to work on being open and like you suggested, just have a sit down and just quietly talk with Maya. And you know, trust that we're communicating, which is really important.
So is there going to be volumes 2 and 3 that you're going to share with the world?
We have more journals, so there's more experiences.
Yeah, and asking about that. Oh, go ahead, please.
No, well, we actually, there have been, you know, a few times when we've had a particularly amazing experience. We would kind of sort of joke, okay, so here's another one from Volume 2, but we haven't really done anything about that, so I don't really know.
And have you noticed the signs shifting or changing since the beginning? Like, how has Maya, do you think, okay, here's a question, do you think loved ones grow and develop their abilities while they're on the other side through what you've seen through your journaling?
I definitely do, and I feel that way with Maya. And I think, you know, over the years, it's been 6 years now, and the first year probably was the most spectacular because we had nothing to compare it to. And now we've sort of gotten our pace going and our routine, and we're pretty much in the zone. But there have been some times where I've actually put it out there to her, you know, if these signs are from you, do this. And I'll be damned if she doesn't do it. And it doesn't happen a lot, I think, but it has happened enough that's like a new world for us as well. So I think there's she's getting stronger, perhaps, her spiritual energy, our energy is evolving, and you know, we're still getting more open and we're awakening, I guess, to it as well. So
yeah, so she feels your progress and she's growing with you. That's beautiful.
And I think she certainly has been encouraging us in lots of different ways. I don't know. I certainly think that she's gotten stronger. Certainly during that first year, I think she's gotten just from the time of the accident. But it just seems like she's always been so much, well, kind of an interesting way to put it, but I was about to say much better at this than we are. She's certainly, as I described earlier, she's certainly been communicating with us on a regular basis, you know, all the time or whenever we want or whenever we reach out. Again, I think our work needs to continue, and we need to become, you know, stronger by being more open and sort of more relaxed, I suppose. But certainly the communications are becoming more more clear and more crisp, which is great.
Well, Learning to Dance in the Rain, a true story about life beyond death, Lori and Brian McDermott, and may I say Maya, I want to thank you for joining us and sharing your personal journey, but doing it in such a way that I think is, it's, I call it like a double validation. Not only do you get the evidence of life after death, but you get a pathway of how perhaps if you're grieving, you can go on this journaling, a discovery. And as you said so beautifully, Lori and Brian, that everyone processes it differently. But I think the way to process it, this is really a great suggestion. So thank you so much for sharing this with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thank you so much for having us on.
It's an honor for us. Thank you so much. And I want to thank everyone for listening. You've been listening to Signs of Life Radio Light, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. I'm Angelina Diana, and I want to remind you that your loved ones are only a heartbeat away. Have a good night.